share some thoughts about the Parsha, an extremely dramatic Parsha. If it haven't yet been Mavar Sedra, now is the chance. And it's an amazing story here in the Parsha where we know that Korach va'Adaso are challenging, not really Moshe Rabbeinu, but really the leadership of Aaron HaKohen. The challenge to Moshe Rabbeinu was a backhanded challenge. They're saying Moshe Rabbeinu is expressing some sense of nepotism here, where he's choosing Aaron, his brother, to be the one to be the Kohen. If you, Moshe Rabbeinu, were chosen by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's enough for the family. Why would you choose your brother, Aaron HaKohen? And my father always points out that in the end of the Parsha, we find something that seems almost unrelated at all. We talk about Matnas Kohuna in the end of the Parsha. What are you supposed to give to the Kohen? And here the Torah describes in great detail exactly how you're supposed to give it, all the Truma and the Meiser. And my father, I think, quotes from the Netziv that the reason why is because after the whole institution of Kohuna was challenged, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to be mechazik, the institution of Kohuna. How can we do that? By telling Klal Yisrael, not only was Aaron HaKohen chosen, and Hu Ubanav and his children for all eternity will be the Kohanim, but you have to know that there's a way that you need to treat the Kohanim. The Kohanim deserve to get Matnos Kohuna. All of that was designed in order that we should understand and appreciate the whole institution of Kohuna. And that's why it's at the end of this week's Parsha. So the Rishonim pose a very interesting question. As we know, this story, as we said, is a very dramatic story, and Korach va'Adaso pose this challenge to Moshe and Aaron, and in the end, Moshe and Aaron are told to do something that is very unusual. HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds, and he says, we're going to do something that we've never done before. I want everyone to take a Ketores, Korach va'Adaso, Aaron HaKohen, everyone's going to come, everyone should burn the Ketores, and we'll see who HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to accept, and who not. And we know the end of the story is that Korach va'Adaso were all killed, they were all destroyed in a very miraculous way, a whole supernatural experience. But Aaron HaKohen was obviously the one who was chosen in that setting where HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it clear exactly what his feelings were toward Aaron HaKohen as opposed to the leadership of Korach and all those who followed him. So in the end of the story, we come to Perek Yud Zayin, and the Torah tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructs Moshe Rabbeinu to tell to tell Elazar, the son of Aaron HaKohen, not Aaron himself, to tell Elazar, the son of Aaron, that he should go and take all the machtos, all the pans that were used for all the Korach va'Adaso, and he should put them, as Rashi quotes in the Medrash, put them on the Mizbeach. Why in the Mizbeach? Strange thing to do. So Rashi explains the reason why is because we want everyone to remember this is what happens when you challenge the Kohuna. This was the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So for all eternity, when you look at the Mizbeach, you'll see this casing, this covering of all the machtos, and that will remind everyone to accept what HaKadosh Baruch Hu decrees for all of us, what the Ribono Shel Olam wants for the leadership of the Jewish people. But here, the Rishonim point out how strange it is. Every time something needed to be done in the Beis HaMikdash, it was always Aaron HaKohen who was asked to do it. He was the most impressive, the most prominent Kohen at the time. He was the Kohen Gadol. And yet here, the one time that we find otherwise, it was Moshe Rabbeinu was telling Elazar to go and collect the Machtos. Ask the Rishonim, why wasn't Aaron HaKohen given this very special job of collecting the machtos? And this was not just a cleanup job. It's not that it was beneath him. The Arachaim HaKadosh writes on Chumash, it was beneath Aaron to be the one to go collect the garbage after something is over. So you need someone to go collect all the mess. So what, we're going to send Aaron? Let's send one of his young children. No, that's not the reason why. Other Rishonim say, this was not a degrading job. It wasn't beneath him. This was something that was a kavod. You see HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you see his supremacy, you see how the Ribono Shel Olam did a nes, did a miracle, to go collect the machtos as a special job. So why was Aaron HaKohen not asked to do it? So there are different answers, different approaches. The Panim Yafos writes in a Sefer on Chumash, the Hafla, writes a beautiful answer, Al Pi Halacha, and he says the reason why is because, as we know, there are major differences between a Kohen Gadol and a Kohen Hedyot. One of the marked distinctions is that a Kohen Gadol, if he loses one of his immediate family members, he's not allowed to be metame, even to his closest family members. A Kohen Hedyot, as we know, a regular Kohen, if one of his close relatives passes away, not only is he allowed to participate in the Levaya and in all the funeral arrangements, but he has to, he must be involved. And if Kavod Ames, Kavod to his relative. So what happens, what's the one exception where a Kohen Gadol is allowed to be metame? Meis Mitzvah. If you have somebody who dies, side of the road, there's nobody there to be metapa with the Kvura, nobody to help out with the burial. So we know that the Kohen should defile himself, even a Kohen Gadol, to deal with a Meis Mitzvah. Whereas we would tell him, if his own father, if his own mother passed away, he shouldn't go to the Levaya. But when we're dealing with a Meis Mitzvah, that's something that Mishum Kavod HaMeis, we say that the Kohen should go out of his way to take care of, even the Kohen Gadol. However, writes the Rambam, if I have a Meis Mitzvah on the side of the road, And I have a Kohen Gadol walks by and a Kohen Hedyot walks by. And both of them have equal opportunity to do the mitzvah. And it's not that one is stronger than the other. It's not that one is more able-bodied than the other. Both of them are equally able to take care of the mace and to do it properly. So in such a case, says the Rambam, there's no heter for the Kohen Gadol to be metame himself when there's a Kohen Hedyot standing right next to him. That's not a mace mitzvah. As far as you're concerned, it's no longer a mace mitzvah. There's somebody else here to do the job. Rice the Panim Yafa, as you come to this story here, Korach v'Adelso died while they were holding the machtos. That means that all the machtos became tamei immediately when Korach v'Adelso died. And therefore, to tell Aaron the Kohen Gadol to be metamei himself when there's a Kohen Hedyot standing right next to him, there's no justification to do so. If you're going to tell Aaron our Kohen, you're the only one available, that's a meis mitzvah, that's okay, you're the only one who could do this. But to tell Aaron to do it when we have a Kohen Hedyot standing right next to him, writes the Panim Yafas, we have no justification for that. Leaving that that halachic discussion aside, which is very interesting and fascinating, a lot to talk about that chiddush in the Rambam, but leaving that aside, there's another very beautiful interpretation that is given by the Meiri in his Pirush on the Gemara. The Meiri points us to a Gemara Maseches Brachos Daf Chaf Zayin. So the Gemara here in Brachos tells us a story about two Tanoim, Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Gamliel. And the problem is, obviously, they're very holy Tanoim, Heilige Tanoim. It's hard to really understand the story at its face value. There must be a lot more behind it. But the Gemara seems to say that there was a dispute between Rabbi Yehoshua and Rabbi Gamliel. And it's some discussion about when you daven Maariv, are you Mechuyev to daven Maariv, is it a Rishus, is it a Chovah, whatever it may be, a detailed discussion here. And then the Gemara says that on his level, whatever it was, Rabbi Gamliel seemed to treat Rabbi Yeshua disrespectfully. And the Gemara says that he made him stand there and he was not respectful to the dignity that was deserving of someone like Rabbi Yeshua. He was another one of the Gedolei HaTanoim. And everyone around felt that it was a great slight to the covenant of Rabbi Yeshua. And they decided as a result of some of what happened here, they decided they were going to fire Rabbi Gamliel for being the chief rabbi. It was not a respectful way for him to behave. And therefore, they decided that they're going to fire him. He's no longer going to have his position. And that's what they did. Now the Gemara says, so we get rid of Rabbi Gamliel. Now we're stuck with a problem. We need a leader. We need someone to be the chief rabbi. Who's going to do it? So the Gemara says, oh, the second in command, the second greatest Talmud Chacham is Rabbi Yeshua. So it makes sense. We should have Rabbi Yeshua be the one to fill the place of Rabbi Gamliel, who we just fired. Writes the Gemara, that would not be respectful. Why? Rabbi Yeshua is the reason why you got fired. So you're going to take the person that made you get fired, and you're going to put him in your place? That wouldn't be right. That would hurt Rabbi Gamliel's feelings too much. Rabbi Gamliel hurt Rabbi Yeshua's feelings? It doesn't matter. But in the end of the day, Rabbi Gamliel was relieved of his position of chief rabbi. To put the reason why he was fired into the position would not be right. So the Gemara then says that they decided to elect Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, which is, as we say in the Haggadah, Hari Ani Kiven Shivim Shana. He obviously was not the choice that anyone would have thought of. He was much younger, and he was not the person that anybody would have imagined would be the chief rabbi, but they chose him, and that's the way it goes. Right to the Meiri, if here, Korach v'Adasso lost their lives, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a Kiddush Hashem. Why did he do it? Because he was sticking up for the covet of Aaron HaKohen. So now you're going to say, the minute Korach v'Adasso are killed, Aaron HaKohen, go clean up the job, and we want you to make a Kiddush Hashem out of Korach v'Adasso. Of course, a Kiddush Hashem should come about, but it can't be done through Aaron HaKohen. That would not be respectful to the whole situation that's happening here. The reason why Korach lost his life is because of Aaron. So now you're going to turn around and have Aaron slap him in the face and make it even worse? So therefore the Meiri writes, that's why out of sensitivity to Korach la'adaso, HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen. Even though it would have made sense to have Aaron himself, he was the Kohen Gadol, but we're going to choose the one who is not completely involved on a very personal level with the story. We're going to choose someone who's a little bit further removed. And I think this shows a tremendous sensitivity, that even when you're dealing with Korach v'Adasso, can it get worse than that? You're being chalik on Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron HaKohen, and yet even for them, the Torah goes out of its way to emphasize to us that we need to show a certain sense of respect, a certain sense of sensitivity, even to them, even to the greatest Rishayim. We need to make sure that we're sensitive to their feelings as well, which reminds me, we'll close with this, it reminds me of, you're going to regret you ever asked me to say a Dvar Torah. We'll close with this, that Reb Chaim Shmulevitz writes in the Sichas Musar very beautifully. He says that Rashi tells us on Chumash that when we have the story of Bilam, Balak and Bilam, the whole dramatic story there, in a few weeks we're going to read it. So there it says that after the Ason, after the whole miraculous story of the Pia Ason, so we know the Medrash says that the animal lost its life. So Reb Chaim Shmulevitz asks, quoting the Medrash, Why did the Asan lose its life? What did the Asan do wrong? The Asan is the catalyst for the Kiddush Hashem. The answer is because from here on in, anyone's going to see the Asan, is going to point to the Asan and say, oh, that was the Asan that outsmarted Bilam, and as great as Bilam was, you see, nothing good is going to come unless HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants it to, and therefore, even the Asan is greater than Bilam. No? So what's wrong? Like somebody once said, you would have brought that Asan if it lived in our generation, you would bring it to every shul dinner across the country, you would put it up on the dais, and you would say, aha! Look at the Kiddush Hashem, look what happens when you start up with the Jewish people, you try to give a klala, even a donkey is better than you. And yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want it. Why? Nebuch, the feelings of Bilam. Feelings of Bilam? Why do we care about the feelings of Bilam? Bilam HaRasha. Bilam is an infamous personality, and yet the Torah goes out of its way to say you have to be sensitive even to Bilam HaRasha. You have to think about even the feelings of Bilam, which again you see in this week's Parsha, the way the Rishonim explain it, you have to be sensitive even to the feelings of Korach VaAdaso. As much as HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to do a nace, as much as he had to make sure to show to all who were there that Aaron HaKohen was the supreme leader of the Jewish people right underneath Moshe Rabbeinu, we have to make sure that we're sensitive even when doing so, not to hurt their feelings one extra bit than they actually deserve.